Well, thanks for hanging in there with us through the extended break. And we always like to have you guys check us out whenever you have a break. And you can check us out where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Don?
Go to Facebook.
Ha-ha.
Go to Facebook.
Facebook, like us.
Valley Outdoors.
Like us, please. Exactly right. A lot of good stuff on the site, TheValleyOutdoors.com. Check it out. A lot of neat stuff. Also, I believe there's alerts on there, too. Isn't there, Donald?
I think
there's alerts on there. As far as if there's DNR alerts that come out. I was just reading one of them. I'm not sure if that one is on the site. I think it will be. But anywhere in the Midwest right now, if you're ice fishing and you're heading out at night or early morning, it's still dark, be aware there is an ice heave warning across the state, across the Midwest right now. With the heating and cooling going on, the extensive amount, there are a ton of ice heaves, and it can make a great day go south really, really quick.
Right.
And, you know, if you're on a four-wheeler, that's one thing. If you're in a car and a truck, it's old, you know, a lot of things can really go bad. So just be aware of that. There is an ice heave warning out there. DNR put that out. I just had read that before we came on the air. So, just be careful on the ice.
Well, it's a huge temperature fluctuations.
Expansion and contraction. Yep. That's what does happen. You know, what's nice, Don, this year, Ava, I don't know if you've heard anything. I haven't heard any stories of people getting sent adrift on ice floes this year. Have you heard anything?
No.
I haven't.
Me neither.
No. It's great.
It's bound to happen yet.
Well,
it's early.
Yeah, but, you know, we did have that questionable early, and then it got a thought, and I think it would have happened. I think there's smarter people, or people got smarter.
Well, a lot of times it happens up on Superior.
Yeah.
And they still, the last ship went out of Duluth here, I think, in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'd be no place to be.
Red has been the big issue. That's what most of the...
Green Bay.
Some Green Bay, yep, right midway up the lake on the Minnesota side. People like to get out there.
On the Minnesota side?
I'm sorry, Wisconsin. Well, it is the Minnesota side. The Wisconsin side.
You could go with west.
You could, yeah. What am I thinking? I'm sorry. I'm so used to being on Michigan, Lake Michigan. Wow, that was a... was a brave
Well, your map wasn't working.
We're talking about the west shore
of Green Bay,
Oconto,
yes,
that and south in that area. Wow, that was impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. Am I on the river now? I don't even know where I'm at. How about that?
You will be.
Yeah. Soon enough, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that, also that I forgot, we just recently had the... Red Wing Fishing League banquet, and you know, one of the things we do is we try to tabulate what's going on with the river within the fish during the year. We have a different scoring system. It's catch and release, and you know, if you get a slot, and then we say if it's over this particular level, then you get this. And we have a lot of guys that put a lot of hours in the lake, and this year was the first year we actually had somebody record a 30-inch fish. So,
oh really?
In the group, yeah. So. But the other thing that was kind of funny was the with the water fluctuation, we had 2 weeks we couldn't even get on the water. And the water temperature was starting to head up, and the water temperature dropped, and the water dropped like a rock at the same time. So, I mean, it really impacted the fishing. So it was a whole different year this year across the board. And we were just curious and looking at some of the different numbers. And you look at, you know, panfish are definitely, they're there. But the sturgeon and the catfish were definitely up this year.
Oh, yeah.
And with the cooler summer, the pike were down. Normally on the river, you like a differential, like a real delta between where rivers fluctuate or come in and dump in and where the river water is a much higher temperature, so you have that kind of the temperature line hydro gradient, and they were just, it just wasn't as prevalent this year. You had to be there at a specific time more so than being able to be there. And
well,
just
that's the one thing that's so interesting about fishing a river. A river is there's so many variables. Unlike a lake, you know, your lake doesn't fluctuate by 3 feet at any point during the summer.
Generally not.
No.
I mean,
where
from
a river
again,
can
maybe
do
a
that.
Foot, but yeah.
And
or 5 feet in the river, 8 feet yep. can be as much as.
You know, and so then you're also dealing, you know, with the current flow, and that changes based on the water, you know, the water coming into the system.
Clarity.
Clarity.
You get a big dump,
you
know, it turns into chocolate milk.
Yep.
So a lot of things come into play, and yeah. Even the old timers last summer were a little bit confused.
So now that when you were at your banquet and the gentleman that caught, I'm guessing it was a gentleman, it could be a gal, that caught the 30-inch,
mm-hmm.
did they give you the particulars, the date, the time, the temperature, the
oh,
water
yeah,
temperature?
Oh, yeah, it's recorded. Yeah, yep. absolutely.
And put an X on the map?
Yeah, we all know where the spot is.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't shared that with me yet?
No.
We'll work on that.
On what?
The location.
Of what?
Where they caught the big fish.
What fish?
When you were telling me about. Or did you just make that up?
What fish did I tell you about?
Yeah, 30-inch walleye.
That's Eric's
nice
had
walleye.
A few bouts of dementia.
Yeah,
I didn't say anything. Did I say anything?
Are you
Oftentimes
feeling right?
when it comes to fishing locations, I have that lack of recall. It's a recall thing.
Where'd you catch that one?
Where's my GPS at? I don't have a GPS in front of me,
that's
Don.
That's what you
I
get from him is the lip.
Don, I
caught it
that's
in
where
lip.
You catch the fish.
Yeah.
X on the side of the boat, and yep. where you caught him in the lip, right in the roof of the mouth.
Front of the boat.
Yep. Well, pretty much most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that works.
You're so helpful.
But I try. Hey, I bring fish in here, so don't even start. See?
You get a trophy yet? We need to get him a trophy.
We should.
Yeah.
Wait.
A plate. A golden plate.
You know, you guys out there listening, do you see the grief and crap I get all the time? I am so nice to these guys. I bring fish in for them. I smoke fish. I give them fish that they can cook. And I even made my special stuffing with sausage in it for them.
We need to be a little bit more consistent. What do you think, Ava? You can work
on
that.
Consistency is good. Now you're complaining?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying consistency is good.
Ava?
Yeah, well.
I need help here.
She's not disagreeing with me.
Remember, you and I, when we get the show running.
We have expectations.
When you and I have the show runs flawlessly. Plow right through, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Don shows up, the
just
brakes
throws a wrench and everything, doesn't he?
Does,
all right, do you want to get back to the topic?
Wrench. Yeah, I really do.
Okay, go for it.
I really do, Don. Thanks. Appreciate that. The Minnesota DNR Roundtable was recently held, and 400-plus attendees, and it was Rob Driesline had reported on this from the Outdoor News, and a lot of things were covered, statewide deer plan, chronic wasting disease is a big thing. In Wisconsin, they just found a CWD in Chippewa County, which had not previously been found. And I think it's going to be starting to look not good on that side of the fence for Wisconsin more and more and more. I think they need to keep track of where those CWD deer are. As I think you're aware, we talked about it. Many of the counties are not requiring them now, hunters, to report the deer for testing. And I think that's a bit of a challenge and a problem in my mind. But
it is. I mean, it's...
So... Sad, sad deal. So you and I and Ava were at the governor's opener, and we did speak with Tim Walz, and he actually asked me what I thought about the forward-facing sonar. So it is a topic on everyone's mind. It just doesn't come up as a non-
It's not on the front page.
Thing, right? So at the roundtable, this just came up as well, concerns of live scoping and forward-facing sonar and its effect on fisheries have come into a dull roar, as this story goes. Kara Levin actually had a segment on the high-tech sonar debate. It was last week. During several discussions at the roundtable, the topic came into conversation repeatedly. One attendee even suggested not certifying state records for fish caught via forward-facing sonar.
Oh, really?
So The DNR shown little interest in regulating forward-facing sonar. Well, you can't. That's the tough part about it. Very difficult to do that. Though it has created a technology work group to study the effects, muskie management in particular is getting intense scrutiny, and anglers appear to have an appetite to curb its use in some places or at some times. Enforcing a special regulation poses challenges, but the vibe that's apparent is, quote unquote, we got to try something. So believe it or not, Don, I just had this conversation last night. We get together on Wednesdays with the Red Wing Fishing League, and this was a topic of conversation with our group for over an hour and 20 minutes last night. So, I mean, it's a regulate it?
What's the issue?
The issue is the take rate and its impact on that. The example was in Wisconsin. There was a muskie tournament that went on, and they had 8 units on the boat. And this, I believe, was something that came out of Canada. As they said, we put 4
8 units on one boat?
4 transducers on one side, 4 transducers on the other. So you would literally have an exact location of where those fish were. Now, it started with a guiding scenario. And when you're going to open water, if you're casting into a shoreline or a break or a rock area, you can pick out the fish. But generally, the difficult part is, how do you know if you have a fish that's out in open water? And with that, 4 units on one side of the boat, they did. I believe what the number they came in with in the tournament was 6 muskies that were measured, and that's never, ever happened before. So it has been eliminated in that professional tournament, muskie tournament circuit.
First of all, these are not inexpensive.
No, they're not.
And put 8 of them on a boat. Yeah, no, I mean, it's one way they could, one thing they could do is simply say you're not allowed to retain a fish that's caught if you're using one.
Well, regulating that is going to be rather difficult.
Well, if you've got one in your boat, you better not have any fish in your boat.
You're still impacting the fish, though. That's the problem.
Well, you catch the fish and release it.
Well, Devil's Lake is a prime example, and this is the issue that comes in. When you're using that, you're going to be able to target the bigger fish.
Yeah.
The bigger fish have a much higher mortality rate than a small fish.
Okay.
So the situation comes in, the impact that the forward-facing sonar has on the, in this case, let's say it's walleye, because they're far more, their mortality rate's far higher than in most of the other species. If you do that, especially in summer months, the impact you will put on that fishery is extensive. And the prime example was last year at the event in September, I believe it was September, up on Devil's Lake for the walleye tour, they used forward-facing sonar, and they pulled like 37 pounds, 2 days, or 35 and 37 pounds. That lake, and I fished it a lot, that lake has never pulled anywhere near that. The best of all that you're ever going to get out of there is about a 23 to 25-pound day is epic day. 5 fish. And the poundage was significantly different. And to me, that's where the challenge comes in. How is it going to impact the fishery? And it will probably have to be impacting everyone, not just the people with forward-facing sonar. It is everyone. So
what did they come up with at the roundtable? Anything?
They're just
conversation.
Well, they did. They have a special... what do they call it? A technology work group is what they called it. So they're going to be looking at that. BASS has restricted the screens. You can only have X amount of screen dimension in your boat. So you can't have unlimited. It's 55 inch, I believe, is the total inches of graph screen that you can have in your boat.
Yeah. See, I mean, I think you're getting back to angling again.
Well, I mean, but that's still forward-facing sonar is still part of it,
right?
So,
well, but for every forward-facing sonar, you need a screen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got nothing to look at.
Well, yeah, the forward-facing transducer.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the thing where they put one at the dash, they put one at the bow, then they have maybe 2.
You got 8 of them in a boat.
Yeah. Never heard musky of that side thing. Of it. That's a whole different gig.
Yep.
So, during the discussion on musky, Henry Hansen from the Upper Mississippi River Basin Association noted that some European countries have responded to intense pressure on big pike and other sport fish by adapting the North American big game model to freshwater fish. That is, they're obtaining tags or permits to target and catch increasingly rare individual big trophy fish. So, there you go. I mean, you start looking at how that's going to take place. It's, I don't know. So, it falls in. That would seem like a lead balloon that would land in millions of anglers where everyone fishes whatever they want, whenever they want. So, if you're targeting a fish, that's a problem. And when it's not without precedent, the DNR requires special tag to get big lake sturgeon. So yeah, that was one of them. Another article was out there. The legislature needs to renew the use of crossbows during the archery season for the autumn of 2025 and beyond. Popularity of crossbows renewal appears to be a slam dunk. And so some cool stories coming out of that. And so pretty cool. Along with the lottery, they finally got that lottery bill passed. So that was pretty cool. Quickly, we're going to jump into this before we run out of time. Three mistakes that you're looking at. Be steady with your crossbow. Number one, you have to realize the deer are going to duck a shot. So make sure when you're aiming that you're going to be aiming where you believe that deer will drop because of that sound will react to them. And you need to practice. It's not like a rifle. People forget to practice. They think, oh, I can hit anything. I just put it up like a gun and shoot. No, you need to practice. It's not the same thing. When you shoot a bolt of a different gram or grain, the weight of it will change, broadhead and otherwise, it'll change as well. So pretty cool stuff. Crossbow hanging in there and really taking off in most people's world. And speaking of taking off, the show is taking off. We're out of here, Don, Ava, all of you, and me, Eric. We are out of here. Thank you guys for joining us again. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and be safe in the outdoors. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.